benefits of freedom. Of liberty, sorry. It begins. Mr. Vice-Chancellor, the subject to which my chair is dedicated, their social and political threat, has fallen upon evil days in this country. Full stop. It is a melancholy reflection that in the land which has made a great, perhaps the greatest contribution to political thought, among a people which still feels legitimate pride in the names of Hobbes, H-O-B-B-E-S, Locke, Hume, Mill, Green, Bradley, so few men of thought and capacity for theoretical thought should today wish to deal with social or political ideas, full stop. Whatever the cause of this phenomenon, whether it is because the decline in power, wealth, and influence of England has led to a preoccupation with sheer survival on the part of all political parties and institutions, and so diminished attention to the ultimate ends of life, and in particular to disagreement about them, without which politics cannot live, semicolon. Or whether it is because our philosophers, intoxicated by their magnificent successes in more abstract realms, have no time or interest in a field in which radical discoveries are less likely to be made, and gifts of minute analysis less likely to be rewarded, semicolon. Whatever the cause, political thought as an academic subject is at present a backwater in English-speaking countries. Full stop. And yet, this is, in a sense, both strange and dangerous. Full stop. Strange because there has perhaps been no time in modern history when a larger number of human beings when so large a number of human beings, both in the East and the West, have had their notions and indeed their lives altered, and in some cases most violently upset by social and political doctrines which have cast their spell upon them or their rulers. Full stop. And dangerous, because if ideas are neglected, they sometimes acquire... And if ideas are... when ideas are neglected by those who ought to attend to them, that is to say, intellectuals, persons trained to think, they acquire a momentum and a power over great multitudes of men, too great and violent to be altered by rational criticism. Full stop. Over 100 years ago, the German poet Heine, capital H-E-I-N-E, warned the French not to underestimate the power of ideas. Philosophical concepts nurtured in the stillness of a professor's study could destroy a civilization, full stop. He thought that the critique of pure reason was the sword with which the old religion and the old metaphysics had been beheaded, semicolon. And the works of Rousseau, the blood-stained weapon, which in the hands of Robespierre, R-O-B-E-S-P-I-E-R-R-E, like the analogous doctrine of Fichte, capital F-I-C-H-T-E, dash, in the hands of fanatical German philosophers, would one day destroy liberal culture in the West. It is a very vulgar historical materialism that denies the overwhelming power of ideas, full stop, the comma, and says that ideas are mere material interests in thin disguise, full stop. It may be that without the pressure behind them of social or economic forces, comma, ideas often remain impotent, semicolon. What is certain is that the social and economic forces, which, comma, after all, are no more than men working, feeling, striving with and against other men and inanimate nature, dash, to achieve their effect through the medium of ideas, and most of all, social and political ideas. Full stop. Ideas are of interest solely to the degree to which men's attitudes, yes, so far as they constitute problems or answers to problems which arise in the course of men's reflection about their place and their purpose in the world and the nature of that world and their own relationship with it. Political theory, comma, even in its most active aspect, comma, as political doctrine or faith which finds issue in action, comma, is nevertheless part of this general self-consciousness which commonly goes by the name of philosophy, full stop. Despite every effort to separate them, guided by a blind scholastic pedantry, politics has remained indissolubly intertwined with ethics and with every form of thought which inquires about the ends of life and the hierarchies of human values. To neglect it on the grounds of its necessarily imprecise subject matter, or the proportion in it of empirical content in comparison, say, with logic, or the philosophy of the sciences, or of our knowledge of the external world, is merely to allow oneself to remain at the mercy of primitive and uncriticized beliefs in one of the great realms of human experience. Full stop. New paragraph. This truth has not escaped every Oxford teacher, comma, even in our own day. It is because he has grasped both the theoretical and the practical importance of ideas, comma, and has dedicated his life to the analysis and propagation that my predecessor, Professor Douglas Cole, C-O-L-E, has made so great an impact upon the world in which he has lived. Full stop. It is not easy to fill a chair, comma, even at the lowest level of adequacy, comma, which has had as its first and, comma, I have little doubt, comma, greatest occupant, a man of his attainments. Full stop. It is not necessary for me to explain to this audience into what shoes I am. No, I have been privileged to step. The name of Douglas Cole is known wherever have political or social issues at heart. Full stop. Its fame has extended far beyond the confines of this university or country as a teacher, comma, a political thinker of unique honesty and courage, comma, as a writer and lecturer of marvelous lucidity and eloquence, and, but above all, as a man of the most pure and unsullied character. No, not unsullied, would you say, of the most pure and noble mind and heart, as a man who has given his life the fearless support of principles not always popular, and to the unswerving pursuit of the truth, and the enunciation of it. Under circumstances that required, no, under circumstances of the utmost difference, as the representative and leader of all that was best and purest in English socialism, it is as that he is today chiefly known, full stop, to the world, full stop. But we, who have known him here, know too that he has achieved this unique public position without sacrificing one jot or tittle of his humanity, his gaiety, his immense moral charm, his deep and scrupulous devotion, reinforced by one of the most prodigious, no, simply by the most prodigious wealth of learning and one of the most fabulous memories ever given to a man to possess, dash, to his life as a teacher in Oxford and outside it, full stop. It is the source of the greatest personal treasure and pride to me to put on record what I, comma, and many others, comma, feel. This great son of Oxford, whose moral and intellectual character and authority are an asset to his country and to the cause of freedom everywhere. Freedom and truth everywhere. Long may he remain amongst us, full stop. New paragraph. No man has understood better than he the relationship of moral to political ideas and sentiments, full stop. Nor the power of ideas over men's minds, full stop. It is from his example, perhaps more than from any other source, that I have learnt that political philosophy is a branch of moral philosophy and consists in the application of moral ideas to the sphere of social relations. Full stop. It seems to me that unless this truth is grasped, the present condition of our world is unlikely to be understood, full stop. For the world is today divided between two great outlooks, which, comma, although they share certain common assumptions, are split, it seems to me, comma, most of all, by the difference in their conceptions of the deepest and most central of all political problems, that of obedience, full stop. Quote, why should I, bracket, or anyone, end of bracket, obey anyone else? Question mark, semicolon, end of quotes. Why, the quotes again, why should I not do as I wish? Question mark, end of quotes. This seems to me the central problem of all political theory. For if it were not necessary or desirable that some men should obey the orders of others, yes, or yield to the superior force or authority of these others. Whatever form the obedience takes, all men could do as they wished, and in the total absence of friction between men, the problems that give rise to political speculation could scarcely have arisen. The central problem of political theory seems to me to be that of coercion. Nobody will deny that upon the answer to it, diametrically opposed views are held in large areas of the world today, and that the opposition of these views, if not the cause, is at any rate the most articulate expression of the great systems embattled against each other at this moment. It seems to me, therefore, that no problem is more worthy of examination. Coercion is the deprivation of freedom. And what is freedom? At least in its political sense, We know that more than 200 definitions of this word have cast a dark cloud upon the subject, full stop. Yet, there is at least one sense of the word which few would dispute as being central. Would you say now, yet there are at least two senses of the word which few would deny to be central, or at least two criteria which determine whether a man or a nation or a group is free or not. The first, which I shall call the negative sense or criterion, is the answer to the question, what is the area within which the subject, a person or group of persons, is left to do what they like without control by other persons, The second is the answer to the question, what is the source of control when there is control, or when it exists, which can prevent someone from doing what he wishes, Say that there is only one sense for the word freedom, but two criteria for its determination seems to me merely a confusion. For the two questions seem genuinely different, even though the answers to them may overlap. Let us take them one by one. New paragraph one. The negative concept. I am said to be free to the degree to which no human being interferes with my activity. Full stop. This is the classical sense of liberty, in which the great English philosophers, Hobbes, Locke, Bentham, B-E-N-T-H-A-M, Paine, P-A-I-N-E, and indeed Mill, used it. Political freedom was simply the area within which a man could do what he liked. Full stop. If I was prevented by other persons from doing what I liked, I was, to that degree, unfree. Semicolon. And if the area within which I could do what I wished was legally contracted beyond a certain minimum, I could be described as being enslaved. Full stop. Slavery was not a term that covered every form of inability. Full stop. If I say that I am unable to jump more than 10 feet in the air, or cannot see because I am blind, or cannot understand the more esoteric pages of Hegel, it would be eccentric to say that I was to that degree unslaved, enslaved, or coerced. Full stop. Coercion implies the deliberate interference of other human beings within the area in which I wish to act. If someone is described as a slave to his passions, for instance, there is a feeling, which is quite correct, that the word is being used in a somewhat metaphorical sense. Full stop. Certainly there is a sense in which he is not free. Semicolon. And this sense is of the greatest importance, as will, I hope, presently be made clear. Full stop. But it is not primarily a political sense. Colon. A man who is a slave to his passions is certainly a slave in some sense different from that in which Uncle Tom was a slave to Simon Legree. Uncle Tom was a slave because he was coerced by another human being in the relevant respects. To be prevented from attaining what you or, break it, in the case of the slave of to his passions, and to break it, in your rational moments, your desire is certainly to be, comma, to that degree, comma, not free. full stop. But you lack political freedom only if some other person causes, deliberately causes, deliberately prevents you from attaining your goal. This is brought out best by the expression, quote, economic slavery, and its counterpart, quote, economic freedom, unquote. It is argued, comma, very plausibly, comma, that men who are too poor to purchase something upon which there is no legal ban, comma, are as little free to acquire it as they would be if it were legally forbidden, i.e. if they were threatened with legal coercion, if they attempted to do so, full stop. If it were the case that my poverty was like a disease, dash, that I could not buy a house, as I could not, cannot see if I am blind, this would not naturally be described as a lack of freedom, full stop. It is only because it is suspected or believed that my inability to purchase the house is due to the fact that other human beings have made arrangements whereby I am prevented from having enough money with which to buy the house, that I begin to speak of slavery. If my poverty is due to the bad luck or accident or the unintentional effect of social or political institutions, then I simply speak of lacking economic freedom, full stop. If I believe that I am being prevented from acquiring the objects that I desire by a deliberate plan on the part of certain other human beings, which they desire to implement, but to which I am hostile, comma, I speak of oppression, full stop. In all these cases, the criterion of whether I am justified in speaking of myself as deprived of liberty is the part played by other human beings in frustrating my wishes, full stop. I am then in a position to say that by freedom I mean a situation in which others do not interfere with my actions, full stop. The wider the area of non-interference, the wider my freedom. This is certainly what Hobbes and Bentham and J.S. Mill meant when they used this word. They disagreed about how wide this area could or should be. Semicolon. Their all admitted that it could not be infinitely great. No, not infinitely great, would you say unlimited? Because if it were, then all men could interfere without limit with all other men, and their minimum needs, theirs without which men cannot survive, theirs could not be satisfied in the condition of lawless anarchy which would prevail. Or at least, the needs of the weaker majority would have little chance against the force employed by the stronger minority, which at any rate justified some limits upon the freedom of individuals with a view to letting all of them, or a great majority, attain, not indeed to as much as they would wish, but to more than they would succeed in getting under any other system, full stop. But it was not denied that this minimum of social organization entailed the curtailment of the area of liberty, full stop. If liberty were the only goal which men pursued, this would be an infringement. Not literally, a frustration of it, semicolon. As it is an attempt to compromise between their desire for liberty and their need for a minimum of food, shelter, security, and whatever other basic needs men have, which cannot be secured without some interdependence entailing some loss of individual liberty, full stop. Nevertheless, it was assumed by these thinkers, especially by such liberals as Locke and Mill, and by such even more eloquent defenders of it as Constant and Tocqueville, T-O-C-Q-U-E-V-I-L-L, Constant, C-O-N-S-T-A-N-T, in France, that although the area of men's free action must needs be limited by law, there was a certain minimum which must on no account be violated. For if it was overstepped, the individual would find himself in an area too narrow for the minimum development of his natural faculties, which alone made life worth living, and alone conferred such value as they possessed upon the various ends which men held good or right or sacred, full stop. A frontier must be drawn between the area of private life and that of public authority, full stop. Where it is to be drawn is a matter of argument, indeed of haggling, full stop. Philosophers with an optimistic view of human nature and a belief in the harmonization of human interests, such as Locke or Adam Smith, or in some of his moods, Mill believed in a large area of private life. That is to say, in a large extension of liberty, which the state must not be allowed, which the state or other authority must not be allowed to every step. Hobbes and those who agreed with him, especially conservative or reactionary thinkers, in the 19th and 20th century argued that if men were to be prevented from cutting each other's throats and making social life a chaos and a wilderness, far greater safeguards must be instituted to keep them in their places, and wished, correspondingly, to increase the area of state control and decrease that of the individual, full stop. But both sides agreed that some portion of human existence must remain independent of the sphere of social control. To invade that, comma, however small, comma, was despotism. Full stop. Thus Constant, who had experienced the full horrors of Jacobin dictatorship, declared that the liberty of religion, opinion, expression, property must be sacrosanct and guaranteed against arbitrary invasion. Why, question mark? Because we cannot sacrifice, quote, eternal principles of justice and mercy, unquote, without breaking, without degrading or denying our nature, unquote. No doubt we cannot be absolutely free and must give up some of our liberty to preserve the rest, full stop. But total self-surrender is self-defeating, for then there will be nothing left to preserve. What then must the minimum be, question mark, that which a man cannot give up without offending against the essence of our human nature, full stop. Nature, comma, it may be objected, comma, is a vague term, full stop, comma. And many views have been taken as to what the true nature of man is, full stop. To this Constant replies that there are some uses of it which are virtually accepted by all men with whom we have a common language. If a law is passed according to which children are to be punished for not denouncing parents or trying to save them from the executioner, comma, then what they do may be illegal, bracket, for Robespierre or Napoleon or Louis XI passed just such laws, end of bracket. But nobody will say that it is natural. A law which tells us to condemn the innocent, to betray, to refuse asylum to the weak and persecuted, is felt to be iniquitous in the sense that it tramples on standards in terms of which we judge human beings to be human, full stop. Those who reject these standards without a qualm, comma, or do not feel their moral force, comma, are correctly described as, quote, inhuman, unquote, and communication with them is difficult, full stop. But whatever may be the principle in terms of which the area of non-interference is to be drawn, whether it is that of natural law or natural rights or utility in the narrow sense given it by Bentham, the wider sense in which Mill speaks of it as, quote, grounded on the permanent interests of man as a progressive being, unquote, on the pronouncements of a categorical imperative, or the sanctity of the social contract, or many another concept with which human beings have thought to clarify and justify their convictions. Liberty means liberty from, semicolon, absence of interference beyond a certain frontier.